You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have a fascinating conversation ahead of us today. John Cornelius, the CEO of ReElevate, is going to show us how to do remote events. And through that, he's going to tell us how we can motivate employees, keep clients excited about what we're doing, and then also how to meet new target market people all across the country and I suppose the world, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, that's the beauty of virtual. You can talk to anybody at any time, anywhere, as long as they're not asleep. But thanks for having me.
Well, that's right. As long as they're not asleep. I was on a meeting yesterday with some folks from Australia, and they were at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So tell us about ReElevate.
So ReElevate's a platform that connects event hosts. So think people who do wine tasting, comedy shows, chocolate tasting, escape the rooms with companies to help support them make connections in this virtual world. So we help companies both with internal employee engagement. So if they want their teams to come together, new employee onboarding, but then also client engagement. So if you're trying to get in front of new clients, doing that virtually on Zoom is challenging. We can provide an event that helps get them on the phone and gets them on Zoom for you to make that connection.
All right. So tell us some stories about people who've used ReElevate.
Sure. We have a whole bunch. And we've been working with, I'll start with Thrasio. Thrasio is a company that is growing extremely fast. They're about 200 people last year when we met them, and they're going to 1,000 people this year. They're the fastest company to reach a $1 billion valuation. And so we actually did their holiday party for them virtually. We did 3 simultaneous events. One was a comedy show, one was a pottery making class, and one was a dumpling cooking class. And so all of the employees got to choose which one they wanted to attend. And then we had a great night where we did them simultaneously. And we've now are working with them on doing more events. So that's one case, which is more of the internal use case. For external, we do events with a lot of different banks. So one of the most recent ones was First Republic Bank, and we did an event for them where, again, they chose our dumpling cooking class. I guess people in Boston like eating dumplings. But they did one where they invited a VC group. And so I'm sure at this point, all of us have been on that Zoom happy hour where you show up and everybody has a drink and then everybody awkwardly doesn't really know what to talk about. But by creating an event, you give something for people to do. You give people something to engage their other senses. So it doesn't feel like you're just sitting behind a computer all by yourself. You're engaging, especially with dumplings. You're engaging cooking the dumplings. You're smelling the dumplings. And then hopefully you're tasting the dumplings if you do it all right. And then you at least have something to talk to the rest of the group about as well when you're done. So it's something that you can then create that relationship over. And so we found that really successful, and they found that really successful. And one of the most interesting things that we've heard from a lot of groups like them, and also a lot of networking groups, is that attendance is up. It was always really challenging to get people to show up at things, whether it was in Boston or other cities where you have to fight traffic, it's a long commute. And if you allow them to come virtually, it's much easier. They can roll out of bed, or they can put their kids to bed and then come back on later. So there's a lot of flexibility in what you can try to do and the level in which they'll engage.
It's coming clear to me that we started the pandemic with the kind of mentality that online Zoom meetings or remote training was an addition. It's an alternative to face-to-face, and not always the best alternative, but it was an alternative. And now that we are close to back opening up again, after a year of experience only online, I'm getting the sense that online is coming into its own as not just an alternative, but a unique, separate way of doing business.
you're 100% right. You're actually seeing that with companies like HubSpot and Google and Salesforce, where they've all come out and said they're virtual first and employees can essentially work from anywhere because the technology is now there, and a lot of others are going to follow suit. So I think that first and foremost, you're already seeing that adoption where historically pre-COVID, I mean, I think we somewhat ignored the virtual people and they weren't always included in everything. But now you're going to start to see them included in everything, which is going to be interesting, where you're going to have not only just virtual options, but hybrid options for you to support both virtual and physical, which wasn't something that was really done pre-pandemic. So I think that's step one. And step two is like, we really went from 2020 to 2030 overnight with the pandemic. So there was a lot of learning that went along with it. And so now CEOs, CFOs have realized that they can still sell. They can do all of the things that they were doing before without having to have a salesperson fly around the country or flying their whole team in. And so I don't think that you're going to see the budgets come back and the travel come back in the way that it was. I still think there's going to be some, but I think a lot can be done virtually and you can be a whole lot more efficient. The amount of time it takes to get on a plane and fly across the country to go meet with a client and have dinner with them. When, what if you said, hey, let's tomorrow night, let's do a virtual caviar tasting. That to me is as memorable of an experience as it is to go to a steakhouse for the 100th time with a client to try to develop that relationship. So there's other alternatives to in-person at this moment with similar results.
All right. So let's talk about what that would be like. And instead of caviar, mm-hmm. let's talk about single malt scotch.
That sounds
right.
Great. Happy to.
All right. So maybe you know, being in Boston, it might be Irish whiskey, but we'll use single malt scotch. All right. So what would that be like? I mean, we're going to have, describe for me the experience. We're going to have an event. How long would it be? What are we talking about?
I mean, a lot of it is up to the person that's booking it. So one of the first questions that we have is, what is the goal of the event? The goal in the event is to create relationships, and especially for internal teams, maybe people don't know each other, or maybe the goal is for you to be engaging with your clients, or maybe the goal is just to celebrate something. So that's step one, is like, what is the reason for that? Because that will then dictate what type of event it is, how long should the event be, when are you doing the event. Like, one of the things is, if you're trying to reward employees, one of the biggest mistakes companies make is like, schedule it at 6:30 at night, where most people have other obligations if they have families. Where, why not schedule it at 4:00 in the afternoon, where they can take work time and actually have that celebration? And it's not so early on the, like, if you're on the East Coast and it's 4:00, it's still 1:00 on the West Coast. So you can make that work in a sense for everybody if you're dealing with time zones. But for your question, for the single malt scotch, which I'm a big fan of as well, and actually one of our most popular events last month was an Irish whiskey event where they also shipped corned beef and cabbage, so you got to make a sandwich with it. What it would be is basically, you come on, you book, there's a couple clicks because it's very much an e-commerce experience. You could, as long as you know the number of participants.
This is how I would set it up, right?
So you log on, pick which event you want. We're here to help you. If you need some help, you can call us, chat us, email us. There's a lot of ways to reach us. But basically, it's an e-commerce experience. You come in, you can see the calendar of availability, you can see the transparent pricing, and you can check out right there. And then what that would start is basically, we would reach out, understand the goals of the event, we'd send out all the invites, we'd send out the shipments. And so there would be, each participant would receive a shipment of Irish malt scotch, and they would be able to open it. There's an option that we're working on where, if you wanted to brand it or have a little note inside, we can do that as well. And then we would let them know when the Zoom meeting was, or if you need to use another platform, we're platform agnostic. Some people are required to use Teams, some people are required to use WebEx and others. They would get a reminder that, hey, you're getting a shipment, please don't drink the scotch before the event, wait for the event, please. And then they get a reminder of the events coming up, please log in and join us. And then the host would start the event. In that instance, most events, the host will open it. The host would walk through and talk about the history of the alcohol, if there's other things that are along with the event. One of the interesting things, too, is a lot of hosts have started to mix other components into the event. So whether it's music, whether there's some food, I mentioned the Irish whiskey one with corned beef and cabbage. So it's not just always a singular piece. You can start to mix and match depending on the host and the event that you choose. And then depending on the goals, the host would either facilitate conversation amongst the group or allow people to introduce themselves. Really, I mean, that would be depending on what you as the booker would like to accomplish. And there's a whole onboarding where we try to gather that information and make sure everyone's aligned on the goals. And so we can complete the goals in the way that you'd like them to be completed. And then everybody gets to enjoy their scotch.
Wow. So they actually get delivered. It could be food as well as if you were talking about single malt scotch, it would be getting, yep. Oh, wow.
Most of our corporate clients want things delivered. We do have options where we can provide shopping lists. And we do a lot of those in instances where maybe they don't have the budget. Usually when you're starting to ship stuff, especially alcohol, mm-hmm. it starts to be around $100 a person. So it starts to add up pretty quickly. But if you have a smaller team and people are fine going to the grocery store or fine going to the liquor store, we can facilitate just virtual hosts as well, where you're providing your own alcohol. But for the most part, most of our clients like the white glove treatment where we're providing everything and people are getting shipments.
All right. So let's see one. Show it. Let's set one up. What would that look like?
Sure. Let me share my screen. And so if you look at the site right now, enter your number of people. This host wouldn't allow less than six people. So let's mm-hmm. start with six, and then we can choose availability. So this host has availability at the end of the month. Obviously, they would have to ship these things to you. So we would require, mm-hmm. we do need more than 2 weeks to get shipments out to you. Just in case something didn't arrive on time, we would then want to make sure that we can send a second shipment to make sure that all guests actually have the shipment. So if we choose April 29th from 12 to 1, we mm-hmm. can click request booking, and then it'll add it to our cart. And then there's a whole description here of what the group sizes are, the time, and also a description on what you'll actually get into the package. So this package includes three different whiskeys, ingredients for one, you're going to make one cocktail, notes and a recipe, Irish soda bread, corned beef, sauerkraut and mustard, cheddar cheese, potato crisps, and a shamrock sweet treat. So you're going to get all of that. And then the host in this instance is Blue Ribbon, where they've been doing this since 1995, and they're based out of Seattle. So they're going to come on and they're going to walk you through exactly how this works. And so the next step is now that it's in your cart, you can go to your cart and check out as if you're on Amazon. So you fill out your information, proceed to check out. I won't put my credit card number in here, but you create an account, put your address, and then as a booker, what you're going to get is you're going to get an email from us. Once you book this, one, confirming the booking, and then two, starting to ask you those questions around, what is the goal of the event? What would you like to accomplish? And then you'll also get the form where you'll need to fill out all of your participants' shipment information. And we have a post-booking module that makes that a lot easier than having to type it in manually or send spreadsheets. So we're trying to really take a lot of the burden out of planning this.
All right. So I can see how this would be a great value for I'm thinking personally how I could pick out my clients and put them into a group like this, and they would have a great experience. Because I did before, I used to have a quarterly dinner at the local Marriott, mm-hmm. and that was fun. They got to talk and meet each other, but this would be a way of doing that for them virtually.
It is. And it here too is it doesn't always have to be dinner. So, I mean, we were obviously choosing something with drink and food, but there's things like one of our categories is play, which there's games like casino night. There's other things like escape the rooms. There's some wellness things like one of the quirky ones we have, which I like a lot, is a tea tasting and tarot card reading. You always get some really interesting conversations happening when we do that. We have a rock star activator who's out of London who gets everybody into a virtual drum party, and they're playing random things around their house as if they were instruments. So it's a lot of fun and entertainment there. And then we're actually doing a showcase tonight or tomorrow with Improv Asylum, which is a really big Boston comedy show. And they have two locations in Boston, and they now do it virtually. And you can choose whether you want the stand-up comedy show or whether you want the full improv show as well. And they do that as well. So there's a lot of options and variety. Right now we have almost 100 different experiences, and by the end of the year we're hoping to have about 500. So there's a lot to choose from, and a lot, and it's great to be able to create the variety instead of just always doing the same thing over and over.
Huh. That's interesting. So for me, I could take my clients and invite them and say, there's five slots available. We'll do it again in a couple of months and we'll have five more. And that really, I'm really not trying to get them. I'm not trying to solicit them to come. I'm simply saying, this is available. If you want to come, come. Totally. That's a very interesting thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We see usually 10 and under is the right group for something like that, where you want it to be very intimate and personal and everyone has a chance to speak. I think once you get over 10, it gets much more challenging, but we have seen and worked with like financial advisors where pre-COVID they were doing seminars at night, where now it's transitioned kind of more into a webinar format, where instead of having to go to a hotel and doing a seminar where they're speaking on topics for a while and then there's free drinks, now they're doing, okay, we're gonna do a wine tasting. We're going to ship the wine to you. You can come listen to kind of our spiel and enjoy the wine. And we'll have the host walk through the different types of wine. And so it's a similar experience. I mean, is it different? Yes, but you're still engaging your senses and you're able to reach a whole lot of people. And frankly, attendance has been up for most of them when they're doing virtual events, because it's just so much easier to log on.
I'm thinking that for my business, I don't need thousands of people. I don't even need hundreds of people. I get five more clients and I'm full.
Yep.
So I'm looking for five clients over the next 6 months. And if I were to have an event that had five CEOs from around the country, and they knew what they were coming for, they knew who I was, they knew I'm an EOS implementer, and they know something about EOS, which I could send them information before, so they would know what they were coming for, but we were going to have fun getting to know each other, and that anyone who felt like they resonated with me and EOS, we could have a conversation later. But it's really just a way of getting to know each other, sort of like LinkedIn on steroids, huh?
Totally. And I think that one of the big changes from physical to virtual that we learned really early on is that with virtual, you have to be much more deliberate. The conversation doesn't happen as organically in a virtual setting, which is why it's even more important to have something that everybody can center on and then talk about, or somebody facilitating. And the hosts are trained to do that in that way as well. And so that's where we've really found a lot of success of what is that staple? What is everybody enjoying together? And then the conversation flourishes from there. If you just get on there and it's just awkward. Nobody knows when to talk. It's Zoom. We've all been through it. So we found a lot of success and helped a lot of companies by just opening the door by having something interesting and entertaining to start with. And then it's a topic of conversation that everybody builds relationships and gets to know each other.
So you actually have a host for, if we were doing this with single malt scotch, you would have a host who knows about single malt scotch talking about that experience.
Yes, they would be an expert in single malt scotch. Just like there's a sommelier for wine, I'm not sure what you would call that for scotch. But we have sommeliers that do the wine tastings. We have experts in all of these areas. This is what these people specialize in. And a lot of them had physical events before, and now they're doing virtual. Some aren't going back. Some are staying virtual. And then once things open up, our platform will be able to do physical events as well. And so for you, if you're planning in the future, instead of just always going to dinner, you could come on and look for physical locations for unique and interesting things to do with that group that isn't just dinner. And so there's a lot of options there as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, to get to know people, sometimes it used to be that we would say, well, let's go out and have a drink. And you drink scotch? Oh, yeah, well, let's go. In fact, I did have a very specific time I remember when one of the people that I wanted to get to know, we talked about different kinds of scotch, and we went to a restaurant and had you know, five glasses, those little glasses of different kinds. And we could talk, but yep. we didn't know about it. Well, you know, we didn't know what it was, but we enjoyed it, but mm-hmm. would be really interesting to do the same thing, but have somebody tell us about what it really is.
I totally agree. And that's where pretty much everything in our taste category is that, where you're either getting walked through exactly what it is, the history on it. For example, we have chocolate tastings, and they talk about where is the chocolate from? How is it being created? Is it sustainable? And then they kind of move into the different types of chocolate and why certain taste different. I'm not a chocolate expert, so I can't replicate exactly what they would say. But the same thing with wine, the same thing with whiskey. I mentioned the dumpling class earlier. The individual there, it's a restaurant in Boston called Mei Mei, and she's been making dumplings for as long as I can remember. And so that is what they were doing as a restaurant before COVID, and now they're doing it virtually.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And I notice you have wine tasting from wineries owned by women and from Black and people of color owned wineries.
We do. So Vino Karma is a partner of ours, and that's what they specialize in, is
amazing.
Minority is amazing. Owned wineries. We try to create or have an event for every occasion in this instance. Some of the most interesting ones that have translated to virtual are the magicians and mind readers, and the things that they can do virtually just blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I obviously you can't ask a magician their tricks, but it's so intriguing. I mean, they range from about 45 minutes to about an hour, and it's amazing the things that they can still do virtually and control the room. And it brings you into the computer, and you feel like you're there in person. That's how good it is.
Well, this is amazing. So who should be thinking about this? What do you think? Who should be thinking about this?
I think that there's a lot of, at least from our historical experience, who we've seen using this. I think we chatted about client engagement. So if you're trying to engage clients or potential clients, there's a big opportunity here to use something like this to draw them in and at least have something to talk about virtually. We've seen a lot of companies use this for culture, whether they're doing a wellness package for the entire company, whether they're doing it just for new employee onboarding, or whether individual managers are using it just to engage their team. So there's been all of those. And then as an event planner, we have a few benefits. So event planners, usually the planning of these events fall to them. And so virtual events are challenging. And so we are a one-stop shop for them, where we have lots of events and can act really quickly and help them be really successful. We actually coined the term event hero. Be really successful at implementing these and getting these out within their companies, whether it's focusing on client or whether it's focusing on internal or focusing on marketing.
I mean, it's interesting. It just occurred to me that I could invite a couple of my current clients who are very happy with the services that they're getting with EOS, what's happening for them, what solutions are happening to get them to the next level, mm-hmm. invite a couple of them along with five people who I don't know yet, who mm-hmm. are target market CFOs and CEOs, and let them talk.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the goal of this is to create a setting where you're enjoying something, which, I mean, in the past it used to be dinner, but now it can be anything, as we discussed, and then let the conversation flourish.
Wow. Well, and what you've also done is made this very simple.
Yeah. So my background is this is now my fourth startup. Prior to this, I was at a company that raised $100 million that was called Scout Exchange, which is a marketplace connecting recruiters and companies to more efficiently hire. Prior to that, I was a CFO and VP of operations at The Grommet, which is an e-commerce company in Boston that we ended up selling to Ace Hardware, and they focused on finding new and innovative products and selling them both B2C and B2B. And so you can see the theme here is that what we like to do is build platforms that make things more efficient and easier. And so the goal here is to allow you to browse and shop and buy in a very simple manner, in a very transparent manner, where you don't need to email us, to then say, oh, are you available next week? What's the pricing and haggle where it's right there in front of you. You get to click, 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 and you're all done. Obviously we have experts. If you want to reach out and you need help picking the right choice for you, we're happy to do that as well. And then we've started to even work on longer term packages. So if you like our offerings, we can put together a culture package, a wellness package, an entertainment package. One of our clients is RSM, which is a large accounting firm. And we're doing, they have a social club in Boston for all of their employees. And they used to do everything physical. Now we've done 7 different events for them that range all across the board with different goals for each event. And so those are the types of things that we're trying to help companies with, of how do you engage your employees? They're in the middle of busy season. How do you engage employees that are sitting at their houses by themselves and feeling isolated? And this is a way where they can start to get together, even though it's in a virtual setting, they can get together and really enjoy themselves.
Well, back to where we began, that thinking about virtual as an alternative versus thinking about virtual as the way we are living. Mm-hmm. So many people have talked about, well, we have to get back to the office because that's where we have coffee together and we get together at the water cooler and we stumble over each other. Well, okay, that's seeing virtual as an alternative. But if we look at virtual as the reality that we have, that's a whole different picture. And the kind of things you're talking about seem to me to be these are the water coolers.
Yes. And we've actually used that term we are the virtual water cooler. How are you being deliberate about bringing your employees together or your clients together? And you're absolutely right. I think that there's some trade-offs. I mean, we've seen in Boston, a lot of people have moved away from the city. So even when things open up, they're not going to be able to commute in and they've assumed that they can remain virtual. And in my own opinion, that's great. And I think that one of the other benefits is by moving virtual first, people can work from anywhere. If I want to go to Hawaii for a month this summer with my wife and kids and work from Hawaii, what's the difference? And I think that there's some benefits there for all of us in that way, where we can create a lot more flexibility in our personal lives by being able to work anywhere. And I think we've proven that we can be as efficient or even more efficient by working virtually. I mean, I know I went from commuting an hour each way to now, I mean, I don't commute. And so it's a whole different world where you're gaining hours back both and dedicating more of it towards your business, but also getting to spend more time with your family and friends. So there's pros and cons there. I think that one of the interesting things that we've talked to a lot of commercial real estate companies and a lot of tech companies in Boston, and some of them, I mentioned the company Thrasio. Thrasio doesn't even have an office. Their lease expired during the pandemic and didn't renew. And so they're fully virtual for the at least the short term. And there's a lot of other companies that are kind of in that same boat where they're migrating their offices more to a hoteling structure and employees have to designate, are they virtual? Are they hybrid? Meaning they come in less than 3 days a week or three or less, or are they in person where they need an established desk so companies can actually get a handle on how much space do they need?
So providing, and it's really providing the opportunities that water cooler or the coffee room did before. Mm-hmm. And now I'm making an assumption that if I'm downsizing my real estate, I'm going to be saving a lot of money.
Yes.
And when I wonder, well, how am I retaining the culture of my company? Then taking a portion of that savings and making it a budget item to do things like this regularly. This is how we make sure that you're having the opportunity for that coffee room, lunch room, water cooler experience. Yep. It's not a nice to have. It's simply the way we do business.
It is. And a lot of companies are taking what they used to spend on employee lunches or snacks or coffee room spend and translating it into something more experiential, where the younger generation especially values more experiences than they do physical goods. And we've seen that time and time again. When I was CFO of the Grommet, I actually early on did a lot of our exit interviews, and this stuck with me forever, was I would ask everybody, what was their favorite memory of DeGrom? And it was never like, we hit our numbers, we grew 150%, blah, 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 blah. It was always this scavenger hunt that we did in 2015. That was where they made the friendships with people that would last a lifetime, because they were out of the office. They were doing cool, unique things. They were tasked. We were doing the scavenger hunt in Boston. They were tasked to go around Boston and get really creative with people that they didn't interact with. And it was at least 60% of the people that I would interview would say that singular event. And that to me shows and proved to me, I mean, obviously it's a data point of one, but I mean, just how impactful internal corporate culture can be when you do it the right way and you allow people to flourish and build those relationships. And a lot of studies have been done too of what, how do you retain talent? And a lot of some of the ways of actually retaining talent is making people feel like they're in a community and they build friendships and they're all there together. That is the number one thing that reduces turnover, is making sure that you have an integrated culture and people feel supported.
Did you care about them?
Have those friendships. Yeah, exactly. And the way that you do that is through events and experiences to build those relationships.
Well, and you care about them, and you're using the technology that's available, using the environment that's available to make it happen. I just noticed here, improv comedy corporate training, getting everyone on the same page. Well, the title of my book is Get Everyone on the Same Page to Get What You Want from Your Business. So I'm seeing a connection already here with what I can do with prospects. Here's a copy of my book and letting that group know, giving them copies of my book, and put something together to get this to happen. I'm excited. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, this has been just a wonderful conversation. What would you like to tell people?
Really, I mean, if anybody has any event needs or needs help with making connections or corporate culture, I mean, this is what we do day in and day out. So please reach out. You can reach us at our website, reelevate.com, R-E-E-L-I-V-A-T-E. Or you can email me directly. It's John, J-O-N, at reelevate.com. Happy to always chat.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Absolutely. So what I'm discovering is that we have been focused on the Pilgrim on the 405 about helping companies in California thrive. And maybe that means that even a company in California needs to be looking at how they can use resources from around the country to thrive here in California. So thanks a lot, Jonathan, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Well, we can see the future, and it is us.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.